to protect the world from devastation,
to unite all peoples within our nation,
to denounce evils of truth and love,
to extend our reach to the stars above,
Jesse,
James,
Team Rocket blasting off at the speed of light,
surrender now, prepare to fight,
I'm Guido.
Jesse, who is this character?
It's a friend of Meow's named Guido. Meow says he wasn't feeling well today.
Well, can't we just splice an audio from past sessions? I mean, he just says the same thing every time.
Well, you're right, but there was that one baseball episode where he didn't.
You know, I'm still here.
Yes, well, it's break time, so get a donut while we go over our lines. We amateurs aren't as reliable as you divas.
Well, if ring when you're right, you're right.
Look, Meow's contract specificized that we cannot reuse old dialogue. It's all here in his lawyer's official documentation.
I could easily just do the line while he's gone, you know.
Who, Meow?
Oh, Guido.
We were just talking about you. I mean, we were just about ready, and we were talking about you. Oh.
Oh, I see. So then, James wants to have me stealing from...
No, you little spineless vermin. What have you done with Meow?
I'll have you know, Meow is my half-brother, and he's very protective of his family. When threatened, he often accidentally does not renew his contract.
Well, Guido, you won't have to worry about that. This is James' last season.
Oh, really? That's news to me.
Shut up, you moron! We're losing Meow!
Well, that's fine with me. One doesn't let hairballs to clean off the set.
Or maybe, but without him, we go too. Team Aqua and Lava are looking to move into our show.
Crap, and I already lost my executive washroom key to those punks.
Are we going to get this done soon? Some of us have important game reviews to do with our sister.
Right, yes, of course, Guido.
Let's take it from Team Rocket blasting off. Team Rocket blasting off at the speed of light.
Surrender now, prepare to fight.
I'm taking flash light.
James!
Team Rocket's killing off again.
Yes, go shoot! Those clever engineers.
But yeah.
Time for ASO Radio.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, to episode 60 of ASO Radio. This is NZ17.
And GB3.
Coming to you live, from the western portion of the United States.
In the eastern part of Utah.
And the northern port of Rhode Island. Anyways... We ain't got a heck of a show for you today because we don't know what we're doing. Alright, so we're having some news, we're having some reviews, and hopefully not too many snooze. of course, that was our take on the popular Pokemon Team Rocket for our funny today. But we have plenty else that we're going to get to. DB3, fill the audience in on what we're going to be reviewing today.
Today we'll be reviewing Those Who Hunt Elves and Memories.
And also, for our video game review and hotspot, we're going to be featuring Sonic Heroes, reviewed by yours truly. But before we get to that, there's some very important anime news, quote-unquote, that we have to take care of first.
And now it's time for the Any O'Clock Anime News.
All right, well, we've got some interesting news from the Cartoon Network. DB3, I'm going to have you... take this one, and I'll provide colorful commentary as we go along.
All right, Standalone Complex brings out the viewers. Saturday's premiere of Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex ranks number one against all ad-supported cable broadcasts among persons and males from 12 to 17, 12 to 24, 12 to 34, and 18 to 24. Cartoon Network saw an impressive jump of 294%. Among adult viewers, 25 to 49, during the broadcast versus the same time slot the previous week.
Well, I got a few things I have to say about this. Now, you may not expect that I would, but believe it or not, I actually do. First off, they shouldn't have called it Standalone Complex. They should have called it I Have a Complex because no one will stand near me, Ghost in the Shell. Because it's so awful. But I guess if you're into that brooding, introverted, self-reflective anime, more power to you, especially if you're a male from the age of 12 to 34. Apparently the Cartoon Network loves you, or so they make it seem. That 300% jump may be impressive until you stop and realize that the previous week included no new anime. Wow, that impressive! If they're just showing great ones, no one's going to want to watch. And then if they keep going, oh, ooh, the new Ghost in the Shell, sequel to the famous anime, blah, 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 blah. They're going to get a crap load of people showing up. That's ridiculous. Talk about using numbers that are unrealistic. All right, take the next one.
I better do that. You're a little upbeat.
But just a little.
This is also about Standalone Complex. And unbelievably, it beats out Full Metal Alchemist in the opening weekend. It says, in addition to beating out competition on other cable networks, Cartoon Network's Saturday premiere of Standalone Complex received higher ratings than Cartoon Network's premiere Full Metal Alchemist, which also aired the same weekend. The exact ratings of both these shows and all demographics will be available within a week or so.
Yes, yes, thanks to our friends at Nielsen Media. Now, let's see here now. Ghost in the Shell, the anime television series. Why could this have done better than Full Metal Alchemist? Let's see. Successful to a large, popular anime that has a dedicated fan following even all these years later, versus Full Metal Alchemist, which had next to no advertisement shown, and, put on right before it instead of afterwards. How come Full Metal Alchemist, a brand new show, not as a sequel to a popular original, how come it didn't do as well? My theory, everybody was walking their dog at 1 a.m. Yeah. Watch Full Metal Alchemist. You won't regret it. As a matter of fact, we're going to be reviewing Full Metal Alchemist on a future episode of ASO Radio, and we're going to tell you how much better it is than Ghost in the Shell. Anyways, hopefully here's some news about an anime that won't suck. Apparently, Xenosaga is going to be made into an animated series, going to be based on the first installment of the Xenosaga games, Their Willows Are Mocked, which Z-Guy reviewed a few weeks back. And it will be airing on Japan's Asahi TV network in January. I believe it's being animated by TV Tokyo, can't really remember, and DB3 obviously has a penchant for punching in animated microphones.
Well, I was just sitting there, and I was like, it looked like a box.
Yeah, you know, it's all standing proud and mighty, and you just think to yourself, bam, I'll punch the crap out of it. As punishment, you must take the next one about Genion.
Genion signs deal with Toei. Slam Dunk, Air Master, and Interlude Anime, and more coming to North America. Read Genon's press release for details.
Yeah, I basically break it down for you. Genion, licensed sports anime from Toya. Fangirls everywhere drool, sports enthusiasts happy, NB17, relatively neutral. ADV, though, is going and making it up for me by canceling some manga. Apparently, Anime on DVD is reporting that the ADV manga has canceled a couple of releases. Fantasyland No. 2, Skyblade, Sword of the Heavens 3, and Taimashin SP1 have all been canceled. Apparently, they're not making any official stance on it, but if you can't believe Anime on DVD, then who can you believe? CBS?
You know, you can believe CBS.
Yes, well, it is America's most trusted news source.
But I would much prefer just to trust NG17.
Alright, everything I spout's the truth.
Bandai America cuts into Bandai's profits. Bandai Corporation of Japan, parent company of Bandai America, of which Bandai Entertainment is a subsidiary, reported its profits for the first half of 2004, this week. Dismal sales of Power Ranger toys and a week... And a weak retail environment contributed to a 2.68 billion yen loss in North America in the first half of 2004, compared to a 1.18 billion yen profit in the first half of 2003. Bandai's company's total profit fell 42% to 3.8 88 billion yen.
Yeah, see, I've got a bit of a theory on this price drop, DB3. Now, some may think I'm going to jump on the wagon and say Power Rangers suck. That's been said enough already. And some people will say, people don't want Bandai's crappy, send blah blah blah, that just goes and redoes everything over and over, and that they do knockoffs of their own brand. I'm not going to go there either. What I'm going to say is that the 2.68 billion yen loss in North America probably has a small factor to do that North America uses pesos and dollars, not yen!
You know, the other Saturday, it was a Saturday a couple weeks ago, I was watching TV with my little brother.
Good hobby.
Yeah, we were watching, I don't remember what we were watching, but they showed a clip of Power Rangers, and during the commercial they had them meeting the Ninja Turtles. I was like, why take one of these great American shows that people remember from their childhood and ruin it?
Yeah, I know.
Putting it with the Power Rangers.
I thought you were talking about the Power Rangers. Everybody loves them. Apparently, House Moving Castle is to be screened on 450 Japanese movie theater screens. This is the largest theatrical release for a Japanese movie ever, with the exception of E.T. Does Dallas. Let's see, with approximately 2,700 theater screens in Japan, this means that Howl will be screened on one out of every six theater screens. Previous record holder, Mononoke Hime, Princess Mononoke, which was also done by Studio Ghibli, was released on 348 screens, while Spirited Away, the highest grossing movie ever in Japan, was released on 336 screens. This is going to be some wild time, I believe, and I personally cannot wait for Howl's Moving Castle to reach our American shores.
The New York Tokyo Energy 2004 Anime and Game Festival will be taking place on the weekend of November 19th in New York City.
New York City!
It's funny, the New York Tokyo Energy 2004 Anime Convention is going to happen in New York City.
What are the odds? It's like saying the Big Apple Anime Fest is going to be taken in Las Vegas. No, sorry, New York.
The event will include screenings of new anime from Gonzo Studio, from Gonzo, Studio Perrier, Toei, and other Japanese studios. More details are available at New York Tokyo Energy website. And this time the festival schedule does not mention what titles will be screened.
Of course, it's always good to go in knowing what's not going to be shown, just what's going to be shown from. Anyways, apparently, Dear Shaman King, the popular Fox Kids anime program, is under strain in Japan. Yes, that's right. Japanese serialization of Hiroki Take's Shaman King and Shonen Jump has been abruptly halted, and publication of the final volume, Volume 32, originally scheduled for December 3rd, has been delayed indefinitely by the publisher. Shueisha is reporting to having stated that they will publish the 32nd volume of the series if they receive evidence of demand from approximately 50,000 people. Now that Shaman King must absolutely be doing crap in order to be pulled right before the last volume comes out. I mean, honestly. Now, I'm not a, like, super Shaman King fan, but it is a respectable show for a Saturday morning cartoon on Fox.
And it's just one more volume. I mean,
yeah,
for all those people that in the future will be watching it or reading the manga, they'll be like, what happened at the very end?
Yeah, maybe it's just like a publicity stunt, right, where they're trying to say, oh, well, if we'll get 50,000 people, and so it hits all the news, and so they sell more volumes of the final one, right? Just watch, it'll turn out some crap like that.
Kodocha in summer 2005.
ICV2 reports that animation is scheduled Kodoma no Omacha for June 26, 2005. Funimation, which only sets film release dates 3 months in advance, confirmed to us that Kodansha will be released in the summer of 2005. Sweet.
Now we need a moment for silence. All right, that's long enough.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
A little bit more.
All right. Is that good enough?
No.
Alright, Walt Disney has announced that on February 22nd, it will release 3 two-disc DVD releases of Miyazaki movies.
Oh, yeah! Which ones?
It'll release Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind.
Nausicaa! It's Nausicaa, my friend!
Sorry, Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. I don't want to get made fun of again.
Poco Rosso.
Poco Rosso and The Cat Returns. Previously, Disney had indicated that My Neighbor Totoro, Nakasa of the Wind, of the Valley of the Wind, and Porco Rosso would have been released on August 31st, 2004.
But then...
these releases were delayed until February 22nd, and then removed from the schedule period.
As currently, there's no known release date for My Neighbor Totoro, unfortunately. However, it was released on DVD by Fox in December of 2002, and in many retail stores can be found for less than $10.
Yeah. Each title would be released on February 22nd in two-disc set for about $30, and will feature new dubs, as well as original Japanese audio and bonus materials.
Now, I encourage everybody out there, of course, I don't really need to encourage you, but everybody listening to the show needs to watch at least Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Porco Rosso, The Cat Returns, both very good, but Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind is quite possibly the greatest Ghibli film ever produced. It's magnificent in scope, but instead of focusing on the larger war in general that's going on in this manga, it actually focuses on Nausicaa, who is the daughter of the King of the Valley of the Wind. It's a very touching and... it's the sort of film that kind of gets you thinking about yourself and the choices you make in your own life. It's a very good film. Everybody get out there. February 22nd, $30 for each set. Buy all three of them. Get Disney to hopefully release the Miyazaki films more often. I can't go with 6 months delays all the time. It drives me crazy. All right, DB3. It's time for some anime reviews.
It's not a new view. It's not a preview. It's a review. Anime review.
Alright, this episode, DB3 said earlier that we're going to be reviewing Those Who Hunt Elves and Memories. First up, we're going to review Those Who Hunt Elves, and as I only saw a small portion of the show, which was very entertaining, I'm going to have DB3 handle the vast majority of this review. DB3, take it away.
Alright, Those Who Hunt Elves is a great anime that I suggest everyone watching, and it is about... three humans that get sucked into an alternate world.
Let me break in here real quick. This review, by the way, is going to be covering the first two DVDs, which is up to episode 12, right?
Episode 13.
13? Are you sure? I thought...
oh, yeah, you're right. It's 12.
Yeah, kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Must run out of budget or something.
Yeah. But they get sucked... these three humans get sucked into the world. There's one, she's a master actor. There's one who's a military schoolgirl who has a tank and is a master with all... handguns and stuff.
Yeah, don't skip out on a date with her.
No. And then we have the guy that's the martial artist.
And why were they summoned to this world?
They were summoned there by accident, I found out. Because there was this great evil elf that was ruling everyone, and there was another...
was his name Galleon?
No.
Ah. Sorry, that's Lunar, Silver Star Story Complete. Never mind.
And there's a good elf who cast a magic spell and defeated her, and one of the side effects of this spell is brought these three here. And they're all mad about it, so they try to say, send us back, we don't want to be here, and Celica, she's like, the one who cast the spell that brought him there, she's like, okay, I'll send you back, and she's starting to cast a spell, and they interrupt her in the meantime and make fun of her, and the spell goes wrong. I don't know why, it just... happened. She
well, like, something happened in the first episode to continue, there'd be more.
And so the spell, they, like, she had to write the spell on her, and the spell fragments shoot all across their world, and they have to go around searching for specific elves that have the fragments put onto their body. And the humor of the show comes in, then going around, finding these elves, and stripping them to find their fragments.
Yeah, don't they end up stripping like 300, almost 300 elves to go and find the 6 fragments they need?
I don't think it ever really says how many.
Last episode or two. It was recounting numbers. And I think it was like top 300 elves that they had to basically force her, rather politely, to take off all of their clothing.
Yeah.
You know, funny, I didn't see a single male elf.
What about the judge?
No, that had to be stripped.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, there's only female.
That's true. I never even realized that. Thank goodness.
All right, let's move along then, I guess.
All right. The reason we started watching this is because when NG17, myself, and Z-Guy all went to NGK in 2001, we met one of the...
Once again, we'll do it in 2005. I missed in 2003, and I missed it in 2004, but I'm going to get it next year. And the other guys, too.
We met one of the, like, the voice director for the dub, and he told us how funny some of the dubs were, like, how they lip-synced some of the stuff.
Yeah, impromptu, a lot of yeah. things.
And I got really interested. We're like, that sounds like it's funny. So we went to one of the booths and bought an episode, and it was right. It was funny. But if you're going to go with the dub, I say only the first, like, six episodes, and the rest go with the subs, because after that, I just sort of get tired of the voices.
Yeah, it's almost like they lost their gumption yeah. at that point, you know?
Just like they lost their will to do it.
Alright, so they go around stripping all these elves, and they're finding the spell fragments. If they find all of the fragments, will they be able to be sent back?
Now that, if they find them all, the wizard that brought them there, the female elf, will be able to cast a spell. And they do find all of the pieces, and, well, I'll tell you how it ends. I'll spoil it for y'all.
No!
Okay, I won't.
It's a rather short series. If you go and tell them how it ends, then they'll have no motivation except for the gods and gods of humor that are all in this.
Good thing you stopped me, Angie. I would have told them.
But regardless, I gotta say, because I saw the last two or so episodes, very funny ending. You're kind of like, what? So, it was very smart how they got out of a tricky situation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, how about this anime? It's not exactly a spring chicken. How about you tell us how the music, the sound effects, and the animation all held up?
It's mediocre animation. It's just like something you'll see in almost any anime anymore. The music, it was all right. Like, there were times when things were fast-paced and the music was fast-paced. I'd have to just say it's a pretty average anime, other than the quite often humorous situations they get into trying to strip the elves.
And so, what would you say is, number one, there's a Those Who Hunt Elves 2. Are you interested in checking that one out later, DB3?
I'll probably check it out just to find out how it ends. Just because that first season, just, you're like, what? They can't end like that.
And one of the things I liked about the first Those Who Hunt Elves is the animation is, while it's definitely dated, it's not today's computer-assisted animation.
That's true.
And you can, you know, this is one of the oldies from the late golden period of the 80s/90s that was still hand-animated. About mid-90s, like, everything switched over to computer animation. It just doesn't really have the same spirit. You forgot to mention about our sorceress's transformation that she keeps about her person while she travels with Those Who Hunt Elves.
The sorceress is, well, you know what happened? She transformed into a dog to hide herself so that way they wouldn't know she was helping. They came out to find, they finally figured out that it was her, and at that time they found the first spell fragment. And when she put it onto her body, she found that she couldn't transform back into an elf until she gets the rest of them.
So more or less, she was stuck that way until she got all the fragments so she could send them back.
And that put in a lot of different funny situations they were able to incorporate into that.
And because of this situation, they were able to frequently use the word bitch with the double entendre that made us all laugh like little schoolgirls. Alright, well, what do you give this one, DB3?
I definitely recommend it. It's a good anime that will make anyone laugh.
Yes, a nice way to pass the time, indeed. I also enjoyed this quite a lot. Haven't exactly watched it in its entirety, so I can't go and give out an official rating, but I'm going to give this one a recommended as well. Which, now that brings us, of course, to our next anime that we'll be reviewing this evening, called Memories. Yes, Memories is actually an interesting sort of anime, in the sense that it was theatrically released in Japan, but it is not a single anime. It was actually the collaboration of three different famous anime directors who all got together and decided, hey, you know, we all have these little side projects that we want to get out, but they're not long enough really to classify them as a theatrical release, and they really wouldn't work well as a television series, and we don't feel like giving them the low exposure of an OAV. So why don't we all get together and make this anime, and we'll call it Memories. And the funny thing is that it almost feels like two of the directors involved had these ideas, like, okay, Setting, Japan. Specifically, a bar in Japan after working hours. Meeting there, various animation staffs in Tokyo. Two of the guys are sitting around, they're drinking drinks, and the one says to them, you know, there's this project I've been thinking about doing for a while. It involves a bit of a space opera ghost story sort of a thing, and, well, you know, shucks, I don't got enough staff or time to dedicate to making this a full-fledged movie. And the guy goes, well, you know, that's funny. I kind of got this silly little idea going in my head about mixing chemicals and what medication will do if you do that. And so they're like, hey, you know, we should get together and we should do this. And another guy's like, yeah, that's a really good idea. I think so. And then if it would be long enough with both of us doing it. And they of course, are drinking with their friends, and so they nudge the other director in the shoulder and say, hey, you know, you could put one in there, too. And he goes, well, I don't know. I'm really kind of busy on the current anime I'm working on. I'm like, oh, come on, you sure? You got something sitting in your head. And he's like, well, you know, I always kind of wanted to do some sort of commentary about, you know, a society obsessed with warfare and guns, and see, you can work that into a whole story. And so they each produced a 30 to 45 minute long anime, and then put them all together in one complete set called Memories. And like I said, basically it breaks down to a ghost story set in outer space, a stink bomb of a story about mixing chemicals and why you shouldn't take medications when you're sick and already on something, and the third one about warfare in a made-up country that's a reflection on our own society. DV3, would you give a bit of more detailed story of the first story?
Are you going to make me?
Well, either that or you can do the one you preferred, the middle one.
All right, I'll do the middle one.
All right, go ahead, do that first.
All right, there was this guy who was sick. He goes, he works at a pharmacy, like, testing plant, getting new medicines out, and he goes there with a common cold, a flu, and they're like, hey, the boss is, we got the new medicine out, it's sitting on the boss's table.
And it should be mentioned that he's had this flu for quite a while. He's tried various pills and shots for the flu and everything, but he's just not feeling any better.
And so he breaks, he doesn't break in, he just goes in to deliver some papers, and, well, he sees the pill sitting there. Just normal red and yellow pills sitting in a blue jar. He looks at him and he's like, I think I'll take one of these, I'm still sick. So he takes one.
And hilarity ensues!
He starts putting off this odor, depending on his motions and stuff, and how anxious he is, and it thereby, does it kill him, or does it...
No, it knocks everyone unconscious that smells this odor, but it positively affects plants and brings them into full bloom.
Yeah, so he goes around almost blowing Tokyo and everyone into unconsciousness with his ominous odors.
Should back up a little here and mention that the boss man that worked at the facility had disabled the automatic security doors locking, and so the guy re-enabled it, and then the head man from headquarters told them to bring the pills and all the research papers to him in Tokyo, and that is why our protagonist is headed for the capital.
And there go, the military sees him and is like, oh crap, this guy's coming to Tokyo. Let's kill him! So they gotta go and try and kill him. But they're so stupid when they try and do it. Seriously.
Very ineffective.
Like, they have hundreds...
Apparently, the stink gets so bad that it begins to affect their military machinery, and even gas masks won't prevent it.
They get, like, hundreds of helicopters and jets to try and blow this guy up on this little moped bike. But when they shoot all their missiles at him, they shoot behind him. He's going through a tunnel. Do they think to blow up the tunnel while he's in it? No! We'll wait until he comes out and try and shoot him.
And then he's in another tunnel later. They do blow up the tunnel, but do they just blow it all up at once? No, they blow it up in a cascade so he can get out of the other end.
He's on a bridge! He's on a bridge!
He's going 30 miles an hour! On a moped! He's broken!
He's on a bridge. Do they think about blowing the bridge up? Not until he's halfway across it, and then they blow up the part he's already gone across.
Basically destroying the entire valley but him.
So, basically, this was the only one of the three I really liked. The other two, I'll let NG talk about it.
Yeah, a very funny ending to this absurdist anime. Purposely absurd, I'm sure. The other two, the first story, I can't even remember the name of the first story, but basically these guys
are... I think the first one was the one from memory, like, Because it is one that talks about memories and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. The first one is basically revolves around a team of four salvagers that work out in outer space. They basically collect their like spacecraft and then resell it like junkmen. And they get a distress signal on the reserved SOS channel, and they go to investigate this. They come across this basically ghost yard of ships, and they're all talking about what a great haul this would be, how much money they could make. But of course, the rules of the space are the same as the rules of the sea, and they need to go and investigate this SOS hull if anyone's there. Well, it turns out this SOS is actually being sent out by some sort of apparition that has haunted the place, and it leads all of the people that have gone aboard. The two that remain on a ship are the captain and the computer specialist. The two that go aboard are salvagers. The apparition goes into their memories and then creates their idealized version of their memories in order to lull them and trap them within the ship. It was actually fairly interesting for me. I enjoyed this quite a bit. There was, like, Stink Bomb, there was a lot of ridiculous aspects to it that you'd be like, alright, now this is the time to put on your helmet, because, you know, creepy crap's going on, you don't want to drown in the red water. But unlike Stink Bomb, this was not supposed to be absurdist, this was supposed to be a bit more serious. I did like the ending to it, though, don't want to give too much away. Each of these are relatively short, so, you know, you can only give away so much anyways. The last one, do you know the title of the last segment?
I don't.
Oh, well, that's fine. The last one basically involves, it kind of reminded me of a way of Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, like it could have gone this way instead. And it focuses around a people that have basically lived underground, working for their military government for years, and they attack the flying fortresses that go by of a rival supposedly invading government, but they've been doing this for decades. They never see the ship that they're attacking, do they?
You know, I don't know.
They never see them, but they hear their government official reports about it, and, you know, everybody's caught up in supporting the government and firing their cannons every day and the mathematics involved and basically being the best they can be for the military government, which, more or less, I think they're kind of going with the 1984 sort of take on this anime style, saying, you know, don't believe everything the government says, think on your own, military conflict is not the solution, even though it can be a temporary alleviation to an economy, so on and so forth. This one wasn't so much a story like the first two, as it was more of a day in the life sort of a thing of both the father and the son. And, of course, the son idolizes an ancestor, I'm assuming, of theirs, that they have a large portrait of in their house. He looks human, but they've been doing this war for so long that they've become more like a gnomish looking sort of people. And basically starts from when he wakes up at like 7 in the morning or something, until he goes to bed at night at 9. It was kind of interesting, but there wasn't a lot that happened, and so it was a bit too long for its own good.
Yeah.
So, alright, BB3, what are you going to give this compilation of anime? I should mention, by the way, that this release was actually fairly quickly done. They didn't even bother to dub it into English, which either means one of two things. Either they had a small localization budget, but they wanted this film to get out anyways, or they just didn't see a necessity for dubbing it because of its quality. So, kind of a limited budget thing, but it wasn't a complete waste of time for me. But BB3, tell the world what you thought of this on a scale from not recommended to the top.
Alright, I'll put it out straight. The first two episodes had really nice animation. I liked it was really fluid. Like, I liked it a lot, and I liked the music for the first two. But after I watched it, if I was giving my opinion right after I watched it, I would have said I would have recommended it. But after thinking about it, I've decided that I want that time back in my life that I wasted.
Nearly 2 hours.
Yeah.
It was like 110 minutes or so.
Yeah. But my opinion is the second one, I think they...
Stink Bomb.
They could probably make that into an anime series that would be an alright one. A guy messing up in a pharmacy, causing all sorts of problems.
It kind of reminded me of the Tenchi anime.
Yeah. But overall, I'm probably just going to give it a neutral rating of mine.
Yeah, myself, I kind of like the first one. Like I said, there's there's a couple of things where you're like, just get the hell out of there. But it was still, you know, it wasn't super duper, but it was pretty cool. It could have been better, you know, if they had done a couple of things a little bit differently. And the second one was kind of funny, but it was a bit too absurd, you know. The last one was just boring. It was getting pretty late by that time. It almost felt like it was tacked on there, like they felt obliged to include it, almost. So it's definitely not horrible, but like DB3 says, most people will come away with more or less a neutral feeling. Myself, I'm going to give this a recommended because I like them all to one extent or another. I like the stink bomb most of all. I like the cannon fodder, I think, was the last one. Yeah. I like that least of all. The ghost one, that could have been really good. Start off with a lot of promise.
Yeah.
But it just didn't follow through. So this one's just going to get recommended for me.
Fan mail. Fan mail. Fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail, fan mail. Fan mail!
All right, well, now it's time for the fan mail. Very, very fun segment we have here. Before we get to that, though, I'd like to go and take a brief mention of the poll that we currently have going on Acer Radio's website. The poll is, of course, our quality versus price poll on the official compilation CDs. And I purposely set up the poll so it doesn't use cookies or any sort of vote-limiting factors. So more or less, it's a measure of will. So you, in layman's terms, you can vote as many times as you want for either side of the opinion. So right now, there's approximately 33 votes for the $5 CDR compilations, and I believe there was, what, like 9 votes or something?
Something
like that for the official press fancy CDRs for $10, I mean CD-ROMs for $10. So get out there and vote several times, just like a real election. Let your voice be heard on what you would like to go and have for our official Acer Radio Definitive Collection CDs. Not the host Definitive Collection CDs. Those are special only for the host. These each contain about one season per, except the first one, which contains select episodes from our first couple of seasons due to a inability to archive all the early ones. Regardless, though, be sure to vote in our poll. Be sure to buy the CDs when they come out. Should be in December. Perfect gift to give to any anime-loving fan out there, especially those that would be interested in listening to our show. Good news is the website progressively getting more and more pages added to it. The latest page, as of this recording that's been added, is the audio players page, which tells you how to listen to our broadcast regardless of your operating system. Covers Windows, Macintosh, Linux, and other, in case you want to listen like on a system that doesn't have an official Ogg Vorbis player.
You know what's funny about you saying that?
What's that?
For them to actually hear you say that, they probably already looked at that page.
That's true, but those that are listening to the show right now are listening about the updates to the website, not just that page.
Oh,
but you're very true. Those that have gone to the site by now that are listening now probably went there to figure it out if it wasn't already working for them. The next update that I'm going to do is I'm going to be adding the fan mail link, so you'll actually have a nice form to send fan mail in. And one more thing that I wanted to mention, like I said, slowly getting up various bits of the site, trying to hit the most important ones first. We're going to be having the ASO Squad coming up. Alright, so you may be wondering, what's ASO Squad? Well, I'm glad you theoretically asked. You see, ASO Squad is a brand new feature to Acer Radio's website. Some of you may have heard of squads before on, say, Capcom or Konami's site. Basically, those are done through a contractor. But nobody really cares. They want to know what squads are. Well, a squad, an online squad, rather, is where members of the public, such as our fine listeners, will go and download a web kit, if you will, which contains all sorts of graphics and buttons and banners and all sorts of fancy, smancy graphics and information about our show. And what will happen is squad members will sign up, we'll give them the press kit, they will go out and they will post on various websites, forums, chat rooms, you name it, it's all good by us. You go out there, you spread the word about ASO Radio, maybe feature some voice clips that we'll be including in the press kit, so on and so forth, to go and drum up popularity for ASO Radio. Every week, the person who has gone and done the most publicity for the site will be given an exclusive ASO Radio anime gift, which will take a various form every week, sometimes a DVD, sometimes a coffee mug, you never know. We got all sorts of zany prizes here. And for the first couple of weeks, we're going to be giving away a mecha keychain to everyone that participates. Very exciting, very fun. Hope everybody joins up. Once we have 5 people sign up, then we're going to go and send out emails to those people, along with links to the official kit and instructions on how to go forth, track your websites and whatnot. So be sure to sign up for the ASO Squad, which should be available as of the broadcast of the show. Anyways, it is the fan mail section, not the go and publicize ASO Radio section of the show. So we turn to our audience, which, once again, we are featuring our exclusive audience member, who we shall refer to as N, for sake of anonymity. So, N, how are you enjoying the show so far?
I like it.
Ah, yes, very similar to last week's answer to the question.
No, I like your review on the memories. I like some of the comments that were said outside of the actual radio show, though.
Oh, I see.
Some of the ones like, I cannot believe I wasted my time on that.
Ah, true. Well, in the realm of anime, you usually only have 2 categories, those worth watching and those you wish you could have avoided by gouging out your eyes.
Ah!
And so, what did you think of Those Who Hunt Elves? You were here last week when we watched a bit of that.
I was surprised by it, because I only saw the last couple of episodes.
Right.
So I had no idea that they were ripping elf clothes off, and I liked it, though.
The clothes ripping or the series?
The series. Ah. I like that they rode around.
I'm a big fan of both, really.
Oh yeah, totally both. Mm. But the gigantic tank they got to ride around on was cool.
So what do you think of the unequal treatment in Those Who Hunt Elves, and that mysteriously these tattoos of the spells only landed on female elves?
I think that if it had been males, there wouldn't have been so many people watching it.
Mm. At least so many guys watching it,
yeah.
Really. But
maybe even people, because some girls just don't want to see that kind of stuff.
Very true, very true. Although, you've got to admit, that hunky elf you saw at the beginning of the second to last episode,
yeah,
I'm sure you wouldn't have minded that.
I would not have minded.
But he did seem a bit of a prick, kind of uppity, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, those high-ranking officials, you know. So, alright, now we gave you a ASO starter kit of anime last week.
You sure did.
And just for the sake of laughs and giggles, how about you tell us what you borrowed, what you watched, and what you thought of it?
I watched all the ones that I borrowed, so I'll just tell you all the ones that I borrowed.
Alright. Effective means.
I'm Gonna Be an Angel, Sailor Moon R, the movie, Love Hina, Oh My Goddess, and
Ramna One Half. Which actually is episodes from, I believe, either the first or second television season.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to start her off easy instead of jumping right into LAVs where it's assumed you know everything already. Alright, give us the breakdown.
The breakdown. Which one do you want me to start with?
Well, how about we just go in stack order, since they're more left in a stack. Let's start with I'm Gonna Be an Angel, Volume 1.
It was so ridiculous that it was good. I actually liked it.
Yes, actually, they recently released the second DVD of I'm Gonna Be an Angel. There was some, like, a 2-year gap in between the release of the first DVD and the second.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, Sync Point needs to get a bit on the ball. Alright, well, how about Love Hina? Now, of course, this is a show targeted more towards men,
uh-huh.
But taking away the gratuitous nudity, what did you think of the show?
I didn't mind the nudity.
Right.
The nudity didn't bother me. I hated every character in that show, though.
Oh, I see. That was your big beef.
Yeah, it was the characters. Every single one of them was obnoxious, and I wanted to kill them. And they were mean, and they were obsessive, and they were compulsive, and...
Well, perhaps you would enjoy the Love Hina manga more, in which the characters are much more mellow and not so prone to go and beat the shit out of Kitaro. At the drop of a hat,
and
even.
Every single one of them claimed to have a crush on him, but they never stuck up for him one single time.
Very true. Can be quite aggravating, really.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in Love Hina again, which follows Love Hina, you do see some of the behind-the-scenes thing. They bring it up like that Shinobu had been going on dates with Keitaro, and Naru didn't know this at all or anything. She's like, well, when did you go out with him? It's like, well, I don't know, when did you? And then they both laugh. But yes, that is a bit irritating how they never really stand up for the poor schmuck.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, what about Sailor Moon R the movie?
Sailor Moon R the movie. I'm kind of neutral on Sailor Moon just as it is,
mm-hmm.
but my little brothers really enjoyed it because they were naked like half the movie. And,
Well, is that his whole reason for enjoying the show?
Oh, no, they all had their eyes covered. And
see, I'm a big Sailor Moon fan, so that's why I asked.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't really good. But I'm coming from a neutral perspective on that one.
So they were covering their eyes during the non-naughty, flashy lights transformation bit.
Oh, yeah. They had their eyes closed through everything. They're like, why are they always naked? I'm like, they're still naked. Keep your eyes closed.
Well, I can understand if there was, like, you know, full frontal nudity,
well,
but
the way they thought it was.
Oh, I see. They didn't want to take any chances, huh?
Yeah.
The charms of the youth. So
oh,
naive and innocent. All right, well, what about Oh My Goddess?
Oh My Goddess, I really liked. I really liked that one. But I didn't like the pacing of the last, like, two episodes.
Yeah, it takes a very different pacing there.
Yeah.
They had a limited budget to finish up the OAV, and so they tried to wrap up a major story point in two episodes.
Well, I thought that the first four episodes?
The first three introduced the characters, last two are a big story point from the manga, which actually spanned something like 14 to 20 volumes.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought the first group of episodes were really good because they were fast-paced, they were funny, and it showed all the characters, and then all of a sudden it drops off and it gets slow.
Right.
Like, and I didn't like that because it had kept you going for so long that it just lets you down. You know, and they have all this stuff, and, oh, I want to see him, but I can't see him anymore, and you're just like, oh my gosh, come on. But overall, that's probably going to go on my top five. I really liked it.
Well, just a word of warning, don't go and see the Oh My Goddess movie unless you want to see Belle Bandy dating somebody that looks more like Tenchi Muyo than he looks like Keiichi.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really awful.
I like
Keiichi. It's supposed to be more true to the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And really dark. And it's like Belle Bandy's like, oh, Keiichi is cheating on me. And Keiichi's like, oh, Belle is cheating on me with her former mentor, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, come on, drop the melodrama, go back to the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You might enjoy, however, The Adventures of Mini Goddess, which is a short series that aired in Japan. Each episode is only about half the length of a regular anime episode, and all the goddesses are miniature size. They're about the size of a hamster, we'll say. And they go on their little adventures with their little friend Rat-chan.
Mm-hmm.
And he, of course, is a rat. Kind of charming, not quite the same series. It's more kind of like a comedic little dealio. It's nothing major, but it is something for the goddess fans out there. All right, well, let's wrap up your little pack then with Romna One Half. Three girls, a guy, and a pizza place.
You might not want to hear my opinion on that one.
Oh, I'm sure I won't.
Oh.
But I really can't rip you a new one unless you tell me, so, yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. Maybe because I didn't know what was going on, because I don't know where it
could
is.
Be
is it in the middle?
I'd say, yeah, it's about halfway through the first season.
Okay. And, like, they dump water on the guy, and he turns into a woman, and it just...
Really important to catch the first episode.
Yeah,
I
had no idea what was going on. They ran around with spatulas and beat each other up, and I didn't like the character designs. I didn't like the characters.
Ouch, hard.
I'm sorry!
Well, you got to give credit due. Ramesh, definitely aging. It's not, you know, no spring chicken. It came out like 10, 15, maybe even 20 years ago at this point. But let me give you MD's brief breakdown of the Ramna series. Ramna and his dad went to China to train. Both fell into the Cursed Springs of Jusenkyo. The Cursed Springs is where an animal or a person of some sort has fallen in and drowned. Whoever falls into these springs will then be cursed to change into whatever had fallen in there when hit with cold water, but they will revert back when touched with hot water. Ramna fell into the spring of drowned girl. His father fell into the spring of drowned panda. So they will change into a girl or panda, respectively, when they're hit with cold water.
That makes more sense. All right. That makes it better for me.
Also, there's some other characters. This unfortunate fate has befallen. Shampoo fell into the spring of drowned cat. Moose fell into the spring of drowned duck.
How did I ever saw Moose?
No, Moose wasn't featured in those episodes. Okay. And so that is why Shampoo turns into a cat, Moose turns into a duck. Some other characters come along the way that are kind of, some of them also change, most of them don't. Ramna, however, years back, his dad and the Tendo girl's dad, Shon Tendo, had promised to Genma, Satome, that when they had children, that his son would marry one of his daughters. And so when Ramna came back from China, he was in his girl form at the time. And Akane, who is the youngest of the three Tendos, there being Kagume, who is the oldest one, then there is, what's her name? She's the money grabber one. I can't remember her name at the moment. She's one of my favorites. And Akane, well, Akane got along really well with girl-type Ramna, without them realizing, oh, you know, this is, you know, blah, 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 foretold to be, you know, proposed and everything. And so when they find out Ramna is actually a boy and that he is betrothed to be with one of them, her sisters volunteer Akane. The reason being is that since Akane is a tomboy, she's kind of half like a boy, and since Ramna's kind of half like a girl, that they were the best match for each other. And, of course, the two is like, oh, I don't want to be with this tomboy. And she's like, well, who wants to be with the perverted guy that turned into a girl, da, da, da. And so the series goes on to introduce some things, like the character Kuno, he falls in love with girl-type Ramna, but he's very oblivious, and so no matter how apparent they make it to him, that Ramna and girl-type Ramna are the same, he just never gets it and won't give up his lustful desire for the pigtailed girl. But, of course, it's not as simple as that, because in Rumiko Takahashi's work, it's never that simple. You see, he also has feelings for Akane, which, of course, complicates things since she's now betrothed to Ramna. So he's always challenging Ramna for the hand of Akane, but then coming across girl-type Ramna and pursuing him. Him and her, in a sense, yes. And, of course, we introduce his sister Kodachi, which falls in love with Ramna, but wants him more as a prize than anything. And then, of course, we meet Yukio. Now, you don't really see it in this episode, but Yukio had already been promised as Ramna's fiancé, in which Ramna's dad had went and promised Ramna's hand to her in exchange for an okonomiyaki cart. And so they took the food cart as a dowry for their wedding and just basically fled that part of Japan. Yukio then went to go and train to become the best okonomiyaki chef there is, in order to go and bring Ramna out of the wild so that she can have her revenge upon him and his dad. However, while she was training, the best okonomiyaki school, which is like a Japanese pancake, kind of like a pancake pizza, you could imagine, she came across the school was for boys only. So she dressed as a boy in order to get into the school. While attending there, however, this boy developed feelings for her.
As a boy?
But here is the twist on things, is that when this character developed feelings for her, he was dressed as a she. And so she thought that he was after her as a girl going after a guy. But then they both reveal their secret identities to each other, and he reveals that he still loves her anyway and wants to be with her. Which, of course, well, this complicates things, because this is Rumiko's world. And it just keeps introducing crazy character after crazy character. The Ramna manga went on for something like 40 volumes, or just an outrageous number, maybe even like 43 or something. And so you kind of got to get the groundwork, and it's a really great series. If you just kind of come into the ballpark, it's not going to completely capture you.
You know what? That makes you want to see it, though.
Yes, it's a very good series.
With some background information, it actually makes you want to watch the rest of the series.
Ah, yes.
But if you just start, don't start in the middle.
Yes.
Because if you start in the middle, you'll be like, what the heck?
As another complication to this formula, outside of the fact that it seems that a large number of guys challenge Ramna for the hand of Akane and a large number fall in love with Ramna, both boys and girls, Shampoo, another character of the show, Ramna had come across her village while training in China with his father. And when this first happened, came across him as a girl, I believe. And in Shampoo's tribe, if you are challenged to a fight by a girl, then the battle is to the death. Even if you lose the battle, then the loser must seek out the other one and kill them. Because one of them has to die. That's the rules. And she lost to Rama, so she's seeking him out to kill him. But later on, she accidentally loses to Rama while he's in his boy form. And the rules of the village say if a woman loses to a man, then they are betrothed to be with one another. And so she both wants to kill him and marry him, unknowingly, when she is introduced in the series. But poor Moose, who is also from the general region that Shampoo is from, has fallen in love with her and keeps trying to go and get her hand in marriage, but the only way is to beat her in battle. And of course, he is always trumped by Shampoo, who will, of course, not admit her feelings for the loser, but has them anyway.
What?
Yes, I know, it's complicated and wrenching on the heart. Oh, I haven't even mentioned poor Ryoga, the man who has a crush on Akane, but a horrible sense of direction, who turns into a little black piglet when he gets wet.
Oh, I want to see him.
Oh, yes, he's very cute, but unfortunately his heart yearns for Akane, but he must see, oh, so many misunderstood romantic liaisons between her and Rama. But Akane, of course, does not know that Ryoga turns into a little pig, so to her, P-chan, as she calls him, is just her little pet pig that runs off every now and again.
Oh,
wow.
That is a tragedy. I watched the series just for that.
It is a staple of Rumiko's work to have tragedy be an essential element. Oh, yes, very sad indeed. But since we're done with the anime pack, and you've given your extensive little tidbits about the shows you watch, what are some anime that you're wanting to watch in the near future?
Well, now I want to see Ramna. I was saying Ramna. Okay, Ramna 1/2. I do want to see that now. I would like to see the rest of I'm Gonna Be an Angel.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it was so weird that it was just...
kind of want to know what's happening.
You just want to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. I do want to see Dojo Hunt Elf.
Ah. Was our review influential?
Oh, yeah, totally.
But not as influential as actually seeing the show.
Yeah, actually seeing the show makes me more than listening to the review.
Yes, we'll have to talk to DB3 about that one, since he has all of the DVDs. Let's see, is there any things you'd like to bring up before we end the fan mail? Any questions you'd like to ask me, or comments, or anything?
I do want to say that overall, I did like Love Hina, because I made it sound like I really hated it. I hated all the characters, but the show itself was really funny, because they do spoofs on so many things that just, they're funny.
Well,
they're
you good. Must have liked it. After all, you did watch all 26 episodes, and probably the movies there at the end, too,
eh?
Yeah,
I did watch the movies, too.
So.
I just kept hoping that
comes off a bit negative, but, you know.
Yeah, I kept hoping Naru would die, but she didn't. Very frustrating.
Yes. Naru just needs to come in touch with her real feelings and not be so afraid to let the world know.
That has nothing to do with it. She's just my niece.
Oh, I see.
But they throw that in, like, near the end of the thing. Oh, I have rejection complex. She's like, no, you don't. You're mean.
So what are you saying here is that with Naru, PMS, the P stands for permanent?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I think it's about time we wrap up our quote-unquote fan mail and move on to the video game review for the show.
Oh, baby, Hotspot.
So this week on Hotspot, we're going to be featuring a video game review of Sonic Heroes. Yes, this multi-platform game was released for the Xbox, PlayStation 2, and GameCube, and I'm going to be reviewing the GameCube version of it. All of them are more or less identical. I hear, of course, the Xbox version being the most powerful system has the best-looking graphics. The GameCube supposedly has the best control. The PlayStation 2, however, that's owned by the most people, and so that's probably the way it's most experienced. Now, I'll briefly break it down to you real quick. I'm a big fan of the Sonic series. I've been playing it since the very first game. I own practically all of the games. So that, of course, will jade my review a bit, favorably, since I'm a big fan. One thing that I really didn't like about this title is the controller on the GameCube isn't exactly laid out perfectly for this sort of game, but that probably has a bit to do with the learning curve. Sonic Heroes, unlike previous Sonic games, you are in control of a team of people simultaneously. Or rather, I should say, anthropomorphic animals, since that is what you are in control of. There is Team Sonic, which features Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles. There is Team Rose, which features Amy Rose, Cream the Rabbit, and Big the Cat. Team Dark, which features Shadow Rouge and E-102 Omega. And Team Chaotix, which features Vector, Charmy, and Espio. No mention of what has happened to Ray the Flying Squirrel or Mighty the Armadillo, but we'll only assume that they're living peaceful, harmonious lives. Of course, nobody mentioned Mac the Weasel either, and so I feel kind of left out. The story revolves around Dr. Robotnik, or as they have now released his name to be in North America as it is in Japan, Dr. Eggman. He has put forth the challenge to our team of heroes to go forth and take down his mighty armada, which could not possibly be stopped. Not the strongest story in the Sonic series, but it is passable. As a matter of fact, speaking of story, it's about the lightest amount of story that has been in any of the three Sonic games, the previous 3D incarnations being Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, as well as a couple of 3D games on the Saturn, Sonic R and Sonic Jam, but none of those were traditional Sonic games, and of course Sonic Shuffle on the Dreamcast, which was supposed to be a party game, but failed miserably in that respect. Like I said, not much story. Only about every, we'll say, three levels do we get a bit of storyline, but it is presented in very nice CG. This is about the best computer renders that I have seen so far in the Sonic series. Very nice stuff. It's a bit changed from the CG that was featured in the opening of Sonic Adventure and bits throughout. It's actually lip-synced to the English version really well. And during the levels, the team has banter in between each of them, and among this banter we learn a bit more about the story, but not really all that much. The breakdown is basically Team Rose is easy, Team Sonic intermediate, Team Dark is difficult, and Team Chaotix is mission-based. Gives you a bit of variety, lets you gradually ease into things. Each stage, actually, for each team is the same thing, with sections either added or missing, additional robots, additional difficulties, but you're playing as the same stages in each of the team's formations. And as such, initially you go, oh wow, there's, you know, 60 stages, that's really cool, but unfortunately those 60 stages are the same 15 stages repeated 4 times over with a bit of mixing. There's also a unlockable super hard mode, which just includes the same stages, but they're just more difficult. The game, however, features lots of gameplay. Just to play through the 4 teams' stories and unlock the final confrontation, you play through 60 stages. Then there's 2 additional levels to finish up the game. But then you can go back. There's additional challenges for each of the teams on each of the stages. So that brings the medal count up to 120. And then you can get A rankings on all of the stages, and then that will go and unlock the super hard mode. So there's plenty of gameplay to be had, so you definitely get quantity for your purchase price. The controls, however, you need to constantly be switching who's in the lead of the team, because depending on who's in lead controls how the team plays. If Sonic, for example, or one of the speed characters is in the lead, then your team runs fast or has the abilities inherent therein. If the flight character is in the lead, then they can fly around, attack flying enemies. Or if the power character is in front, they can smash through obstacles and defeat stronger enemies. At first, this feels mighty awkward to most players, as they're constantly having to switch who's in the lead, and most will have a preference, and they'd rather not switch out. But after a while, the game makes it so you can play primarily as whoever you want, but we'll need to switch every now and again to one of the other characters to get through. But that's alright, because even though the learning curve is a little bit steep, because sometimes you'll hit the wrong button for the wrong character, you'll get it down probably in about an hour, hour and a half, and it'll feel pretty natural to you by that point. There are unfortunately a couple of bugs in this game where you'll be doing really well, so you'll be going too fast, and you'll fly off of a platform that you should have just landed straight on. A new feature added to this is that characters, when they come to an edge of a platform, they'll kind of do their balancing act at the end without just falling off, unlike the previous games, which does help prevent a couple of cheap deaths, but with some of the death-defying moves you do in this, such as with the improved grinding, that isn't always a guarantee that you're not going to be the victim of a cheap death. The music in this, it's actually starting to really impress me, as each of the Sonic 3D games in the, you know, actual Sonic series has very impressive music. Seems to be getting better with each release, but then again, I'm a bit predisposed to the music of the series. Each team has a theme song, and in the previous game, Sonic Adventure 2, each character had a theme song. So to compensate for the lesser amount of songs, each song is much longer, typically running 3 to 5 minutes. I'm really in favor of Team Rose's songs and Team Chaotic songs. Team Dark's song is pretty good. The main song, that's pretty good too. Sonic Team's song, it felt a bit weak. The sound effects, they're more or less typical Sonic sound effects. Some of these, some of them have been changed though, like the music that plays when you're got the speed power up. That's completely changed, as well as the invincibility power up. And the shields that you get in the game aren't really that easily noticeable, so it provides a little bit of difficulty when you're not sure whether or not you have a shield. This game, like previous entries though, once you have the stages and the bosses, you've encountered them a few times, you more or less get the patterns down packed, and so the game, which once seemed rather difficult and frustrating, becomes a bit easy. And of course, like I said, there's plenty of replayability in this, and as you unlock more and more of the emblem medals, you go and you unlock more and more two-player modes. So as you go through, you unlock more modes to play with your friends, which of course opens its own can of replayability. However, the Chao games and raising have been removed from this, personally I think for the better, because I've always hated the Chao, but it does cut down a bit on the replayability. However, you are rescuing a Chao in Team Rose's story, so I guess it's not a completely Chao-less void. And that more or less wraps up this game. Just to recap here real quick, I was disappointed by the lack of story. Even though there's some story in there, some of it's a bit good, it's very light compared to the last two entries, and I'm really hoping after these last two more action-focused Sonic games, Adventure 2 and Heroes, that we'll get back more to an original Sonic Adventure game where you're not just always running and going, but you're actually talking around to people and filling out a storyline. Sonic Heroes, I would have liked to have given it a highly recommended, but unfortunately, it doesn't quite reach that very highly sought rating, and so I'm going to have to go and give this game a rating of, sadly, only recommended. If Sonic Team can get rid of some of those annoying bugs, which cause cheap deaths, allow you to play as whichever character you want, instead of having to play as a team of three, which they, of course, implemented so anybody can always have their favorite character with them, and got a little bit better music in certain places, give us a bit more story, you would have had probably a top recommendation. But as it is, this can only get a recommended, so for all you Sonic heads out there, I'm sure you already have the game, but for those looking to go and pick up a new game, I'd say you could probably hold off or pick up this game. All depends on whether you want quantity or if you want quality. Alright, well, it's been a very nice show today. I especially enjoyed reviewing Memories. That's kind of fun because it's like a 3-in-1 review, but only having to watch one anime DVD. Yeah. And of course, I always enjoy reviewing something we can rip apart like the wolves we are. Anyways, be sure to tune in next week. We're going to have a very interesting anime for review next week. What is it going to be? Well, I don't want to spoil the next episode or anything, but I'll tell you this much. It involves Ramna One Half. And, of course, tune in for the hot spots. Be sure to sign up for the ASO squad. We appreciate all the efforts on behalf of those people that do. Anyways, we need to wrap up this episode 60. Oh, the memories of episode 50, ADB3.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the times where we ended the show. Anyway, this is NZ17.
NZB3.
Signing out for this week of ASO Radio.